In 1918, when Ben Kahn called the U.S. wartime food regulations a big joke, he never imagined it would earn him jail time, but that's what happened. Kahn was a Polish immigrant, traveling liquor salesman, and arrested, charged with the Montana Sedition Act. Charged with violating that act, he spent almost 3 years in jail. Many Montanans were thrown in jail during the First World War for making comments authorities deemed critical of the war. Well, now, in an effort to right that and right what they see as a past wrong and an affront to First Amendment rights, students at the University of Montana are working to vindicate Kahn and some 70 other Montanans convicted almost 90 years ago. Law students are contacting relatives and will bring clemency petitions to Montana Governor Brian Schweitzer this spring. Journalism professor Clemens works undercover with 41 prisoners under the Sedition Act and wrote this book, Darkest Before Dawn, Sedition and Free Press in the American West. He's heading up the Montana Sedition Project with Montana University students. Joins us from his office in Missoula, Montana. Thanks for being with us.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about your research.
Well, the research I did focused on the origins of the Montana Sedition Law and also the outcome, what happened under that law, the 74 people who were convicted and 41 who went to prison, 40 men and one woman.
And what kinds of things were they saying?
Well, many of them were just kind of offhand, casual remarks, drunken outbursts, perhaps. They were critical of the war, like Ben Kahn. They, said pretty innocuous things, or they said, you know, this is a rich man's war, that kind of sentiment, or they were critical of the president or the war effort. Some of them were kind of obscenity-laced remarks, which probably increased their jail time.
And was this Sedition Act in effect for a long time, or was it enacted in response to the war?
It was enacted during the war. It was enacted in February of 1918 by a state legislature that felt that the National Espionage Act, which contained a provision that really was a sedition law, also wasn't doing the job, wasn't strong enough. So they passed their own sedition law.
We're talking today about the sedition law in Montana. It's been repealed, but 70 or so people, in fact, upwards of 90 people had been arrested under that law, and we're trying to get, at least in the state of Montana, some kind of redress for that. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Frank Stachow, and we're talking with Clemens Work and joined now by Katie Olson, a third-year law student from the University of Montana, who joins us from the University of Montana Law School in Missoula. And she's involved in the project. Katie, welcome to the program. Tell us about your involvement.
Thanks for having me. What we're working on right now in conjunction with Professor Work is just trying to get these petitions for pardon in front of the governor and determine, since Montana has never in the history of a state granted a posthumous pardon, we're trying to determine the proper procedure to go through in order to get this taken care of.
What are some of the legal issues in these pardons, in gaining these
pardons? Well, first of all is just a standing issue. In the statutes, an attorney can bring a petition on behalf of a prisoner or a next of friend, a conservator, but there's no, the statutes are totally silent as to what to do when, you know, that the person, as all these individuals are passed away.
Right. Are you having a hard time finding relatives?
Well, Professor Work was able to locate a couple, and we have some of our students working on just that, locating relatives. And we are having a fairly difficult time. We're hoping that with some of the articles and publicity that have come out in the last couple of weeks that we'll have some relatives come forward. But so far, that's been pretty difficult.
And Professor Work, I'm still trying to get a picture of how this might have taken place. Were these people sort of arrested on the spot, or did they find authorities coming to the house later after somebody snitched on? How did that work?
A variety of circumstances, but they were arrested shortly after they made these statements. Sometimes they were informed on by their neighbors or other people that they were associated with.
And what drew you to this? Why did you decide that this needs action and redress?
Well, I think Katie can address this too, but I think that it's a matter of righting an old wrong. The things that these people were arrested for basically speaking their mind, was something that today would be completely unconstitutional and against our First Amendment rights of free speech. They were doing nothing more than expressing their opinions, and they should not have served a day in jail.
You have a sense that Montana's law was any more harsh than any other laws that might have been passed around this time?
I think it actually was. The terms of the law and the sentence up to 20 years and $20,000, which today is equivalent to about $275,000, those were pretty harsh terms.
Katie, I wonder if you talked about the difficulty in locating some relatives. Do you think that their presence in the courtroom or before a judge would help in your cause?
Well, I think logistically, as far as getting the grants of the pardons, it certainly would help to have a relative. Moreover, I think it's important, you know, if the purpose of a pardon is to promote the public welfare and to remove the stigma of an unjust conviction, we certainly would like the families and the state of Montana to acknowledge that what they did back then was wrong. And, you know, we would like to have the families present for that purpose. We feel pretty confident, based on the kind of cursory research we've done so far, that we still have some legal avenues with which we can give these pardons in front of the government, even without a living family member.
Katie, what kind of public reaction has there been?
Mostly just really supportive. I think especially within our law school community, you know, the students and faculty alike have all been surprised that this law was even in existence in our state. You know, it's something we've never even heard about before Professor Work's book. So it was really eye-opening to learn about. And then, you know, just the interest in kind of the present-day context as far as, you know, people being or country being at war that many objected to, certainly is very, very relevant today.
How relevant, Professor Work?
I think it has a direct relevance to today, to the actions by the administration to limit civil liberty and civil liberties in the name of security. I'm not saying that it's the exact same kind of law, but, you know, different times, different measures.
Well, Katie, were you surprised at how far people would go when they're scared?
No, I not really. Well, as far as the government, certainly, but I think, you know, we had talked about this as a group as far as was this something we wanted to invest our time and energy in? And then the more we thought about the First Amendment and it seems like something that wouldn't happen today, but we've seen, you know, the Constitution being bent in all kinds of directions.
Katie, I'm going to have to say goodbye, but I want to thank you very much. Katie Olson, third-year law student from the University of Montana, joins us from Missoula. Clemens Work is a professor of journalism at the University of Montana and author of the new book, Darkest Before the Dawn. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Frank Stachow in Washington.